Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So the Treasury Department and the FDIC are reportedly close to a massive new plan to help American homeowners facing foreclosure. According to the Associated Press this morning, the draft under consideration would include loan restructuring and federal loan guarantees for around 3 million mortgages. With us to talk about this and more from today's Halloween Fright Ride through the financial crisis is Vikas Bajaj, New York Times economics correspondent. Hi, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here.
3 million homeowners could get their payments lowered, I think, through lowering the interest rates on balloon mortgages to make their loans affordable. How would that work for those who qualify?
So what the government would do is lay out standards for how servicers, which are basically companies that handle your billing and payments on mortgages, restructure these mortgages. It could be lowering interest rates. It could be lowering the principal. It could be changing the terms of the loan. I mean, maybe make a 30-year loan a 35-year loan. Or maybe make a 15-year loan a longer loan as well.
And this is designed mostly, I understand, for people who have a solid income but got in over their heads with an adjustable rate mortgage for the most part. How will they draw that line?
Yeah, that's going to be the key question here, Brian. It's how do you determine who can afford to stay in the house and who can't? You're drawing sort of a fine line through these millions of homeowners who are potentially in trouble. Some of them just won't be able to afford the home, even if you lowered the payment significantly. Others might be able to with just a little bit of help, but that sort of requires very sort of sophisticated analysis on a case-by-case basis. You can't say that just by looking at, 1,000 loans at one time. You have to, go through each one, one by one.
What happens to the worse-off people who don't qualify? After all, they are worse off.
Yeah, the worst-off people, perhaps, the government should be thinking about, helping these people find rental housing and, maybe giving them some relief in terms of tax breaks so that they can, afford to move in a quick fashion. That's one of the things that they did in this settlement with Countrywide that was approved a few weeks ago, where the state attorneys general got this deal with Countrywide. And, in some cases, Countrywide will pay for moving costs.
If 3 million homeowners would be covered, how much of the foreclosure problem does that represent?
That represents a pretty good size. Depending on your estimates of how many loans are going to go into default, and obviously we know that a couple million have already been there. It could be half the problem. It just depends on how bearish you are in terms of your perspective of how many loans will go bad.
And the version that I read said the government would guarantee the loan for 5 years, then the loan would again begin to adjust to higher rates. Is this just about compassion for these homeowners facing hard times who might be savable? Or is there also supposed to be a macroeconomic impact on home prices, on the broader recession, on stocks and bonds, whatever?
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that there's some element of compassion in public relations here. I mean, we've done quite a bit for the Wall Street institutions and the financial system, and that doesn't go over so well with a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans, frankly, who think that more should be done to help the homeowner. I mean, even John McCain said that the government should go out and buy mortgages. The question is, will it help the system broadly? There's a lot of economists who believe that until you sort of address the problem in the housing market, all the other stuff you do will only sort of help at the margins. What you need to do is you need to sort of smooth the decline in home prices. I think most economists would argue that you can't stop the decline in home prices. You can only smooth its trajectory, and that this might help do that.
Listeners, we've gone this far with bailouts. Under these circumstances, do you support bailing out 3 million homeowners by restructuring their loans and guaranteeing those loans if they can be saved, if they've got solid enough incomes? Is this worth a projected $50 billion federal tax dollars. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your reaction to this. My guest, Vikas Bajaj, New York Times economics reporter, and reportedly because they think it would take $50 billion to preserve $500 billion in mortgages from evaporating. And this $50 billion would come out of the $700 billion allocated in the bailout bill. So if those numbers are accurate, it sounds like a pretty good deal. It's a very small percentage of the $700 billion bailout money, and it's a 1 to 10 ratio, $50 billion spent to preserve $500 billion in mortgages from going up in smoke.
Yeah, I mean, think of this like an insurance company. You know, an insurance company probably has hundreds of billions, maybe even $1 trillion of liabilities of policies outstanding. They don't have that much money sitting around in their bank account. They have a vastly smaller sum because you're basically betting that you're not going to have to make call on all of these mortgages. The calculation that you have to do is how many of these loans, once they're modified, will redefault again, and then what will be the losses on those loans. From what I was being told yesterday, the government will only shoulder about half of those losses, not all of them. So, you know, there'd be some sharing of the downside with the mortgage companies and the investors.
Jennifer in Manhattan posts on our comments page, I guess this plan makes sense, but as a renter who has widely stayed out of purchasing in the overinflated real estate market, it makes me annoyed. Why haven't the banks been doing this on their own to avoid default? Because banks don't like to own foreclosed homes. Wouldn't this have been good business without the federal government prodding them into it or guaranteeing them into it?
Yeah, you're right. They don't like to be in that business. But this is not we're not in sort of the traditional banking mode. We're not in sort of the wonderful life mode where, you know, the Bailey savings and loan will look out after its customers and make sure that they can stay in their homes. This is, you know, the world is a lot different now. And some mortgage servicing companies have certainly done more than others. What's unclear is sort of all of these conflicting interests and how they impact whether loans get modified or not. I mean, each of these loans often backs, you know, several dozen bonds, and each of those bonds have many different investors. And so the servicing company is sort of beholden to not just one person, but many different people with many different interests. The servicing company also has an interest itself because modifying loans costs money.
Now, Bernie in Montville is on the phone, and he wants to argue that I was making this sound too good, that it's not $50 billion to preserve $500 billion in mortgages, that it's not that much leveraging. Bernie?
Yeah, you're stating it as though the $500 billion in mortgages will go down to zero and go up in smoke as though they'd be worth zero. If the houses lose value, certainly some of that value will be lost. But $500 billion might go to $400 billion or $350. So you're putting $50 billion in to save $100 or $150 billion, not $500 billion.
Because
housing will not be worth zero.
Yeah. Do you think that that's not worth it?
Wait,
Bernie, go ahead.
I don't think it's worth it. I think what the government needs to do is get involved in this way. If there's a person living in a house that can no longer afford to live in that house and they're on the verge of foreclosure, if the government wants to assume ownership temporarily on that house and rent that same house to the people that are living in it, I'm okay with that. As long as what they're not doing is benefiting that person and saying, all right, we're going to forgive $50,000 that you're upside down on the loan, and that person gets a bonus of $50,000 in value because they made a mistake or because they overextended themselves.
Right, and that's, Bernie, thank you, and that's the moral hazard, so-called, that Amity Schles was talking about before, Vikas, that it encourages other people in the future to say, well, if I take this risky investment and things go bad, maybe I can ask the government for a bailout or a partial bailout, as many of these would be.
Yeah, no, indeed. I mean, that's a big concern. That, you know, at the moment, I think what policymakers have thought is that the moral hazard argument is a good one, but we're in the middle of a crisis and we need to get out of it. And this is what they've come up with. I think he makes a very good point, the caller, that there are other ways to do this. Dean Baker, who's an economist in Washington, has suggested a similar let a rental program so that you can keep the borrower in the home, but, you know, make them a renter for until they can get on their feet again and perhaps buy back the property or buy another property, just move. Keeping people in their homes has another downside, which that, you know, you limit their mobility. If they've lost a job and they could get a better job or get another job two towns down the street or in another state, keeping them in their home sort of keeps them from taking that job, that other job.
Before you go, how different is this from anything the presidential candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, have proposed for homeowner relief? We heard McCain in one of the debates propose a $300 billion plan, $300 billion out of the $700 billion mm-hmm. to be used to buy the bad debt off the homeowners.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, something that the government can do under the $700 million plan. It was authorized to do that. It hasn't started buying any of these loans yet. Certainly, that would be a bigger government outlay up front than this program. And, Barack Obama suggested that we let bankruptcy court judges restructure mortgages. Right now, there's a quirk in the law that, maybe not so much a quirk, but the law says that, bankruptcy judges cannot renegotiate mortgages on primary residences. They can renegotiate mortgages on investment properties. They can renegotiate mortgages that corporations have, but they can't renegotiate
primary home. When you put it that way, it does sound like a quirk.
The mortgage industry would tell you that this is something that preserves the sanctity of contracts, and you shouldn't be changing contracts after the fact. But the truth of the matter is that contracts do get changed by bankruptcy court judges all the time. It's just that there's an exception made for the primary residence.
All right, this homeowner bailout plan is under discussion in Washington, and apparently is close to finalization, but has not been announced. Vikas, 10 seconds. Is this pretty much a done deal? Do you expect something today, as far as you know?
I don't expect something today. I was getting a lot of conflicting signals from Washington yesterday in terms of how close this is to being done. Some people say it's very close. Other people say that, this is still under discussion. We could decide to do something else.
Is this all a trial balloon in the press so people like us have these conversations and they figure out what's politically feasible?
So, I would not discount that. I think that's probably part of it. And I think there's still sort of a lot of hand-wringing going on within the administration as to whether or not this is the best way of doing things.
Vikas Bajaj, New York Times economics correspondent, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC up next for his final visit after coming every Thursday in September and October, campaign fact checker Bill Adair. Stay tuned.